Are we ready for God's word this morning? Let's open our Bible. Let's go through this again. I'm sorry. There were only two voices I heard. Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, please. While you're turning there, I want to share a little bit of a, I want to share a word with you this morning that I would consider a now word. It is a word for us today, an encouraging word, all right? And let's begin with when I was 10 years old. Dad got it in his mind that we, the boys, the Brazino boys, should learn how to swim. So he took us to the nearest YMCA to take swimming lessons. And truth be told, I was afraid of the water. At that point in my life, I did not like swimming. I thought I would drown. And so anyway, we started going. They taught us how to just kind of walk around in the water. And then after a little bit, the teacher, I don't know for to this point why she told us to call her this. She said, "This is my name. Just call me Cheetah." Okay, we'll call you Cheetah. And so Cheetah told us, okay, now we're going to learn how to float. So she said, "I'm going to put my arms out. Now you guys lie down on my arms." Okay, so we're lying down on the arms. And without us knowing, without me knowing, she pulled the arms out. And I'm just like relaxing, enjoying the water, thinking all the time her arms are underneath me, holding me up. And she said, "Look, you're floating. You're doing so good. You've been floating for a minute without my arms." And I thought, "What?" And then all of a sudden, I started panicking, and then I started drowning. I started, you know, doing all this. She said, "No, wait. What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I can't float unless your arms are underneath me." "Let's try this again." So she, "All right, so lie down." You know, I'm a portly little boy. "Lie down." So I'm lying down. All right. So I'm like, okay, I'm relaxing. This is great. I start showboating. I put my arms behind my head. And then about 2 minutes later, "See, my arms are no longer with underneath you." So here I go again. And it happened a couple more times. And I was such, my other brothers were quick studies. They caught on quickly. I did not, because somehow I believed that unless I knew that her arms were underneath me, I was going to drown. Interesting, huh? Isn't it how interesting how your mind can play tricks on you? Well, this morning, I want that story to be a lead-in to the passage that we want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 33. We're going to begin reading with verse 27, all right? Verse 27, very well-known scripture. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are," what, church family?
"Everlasting arms."
Let's all say it together. "Underneath are the everlasting arms." Notice, "He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy." Let me ask you this question this morning. Do we live with that awareness that underneath our lives are, in fact, the everlasting arms of our Heavenly Father? That he will not let our foot slip. He will not let our foot strike against a stone. Come on, somebody. That we will not be falling. That he will always take care of us no matter what.
Amen.
Do we live with that peace? Do we live with that assurance? That God will always, listen carefully, church family. God will always make a way where no way appears to be. I mean, this morning I was reading my devotion. I'm going through the Gospel of John. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way." When you meet someone who calls himself the way, who agrees with me that no matter what it looks like in your life, if there is no human way possible, the way comes up, shows up, there will be a way.
Amen.
Was there a way through the Red Sea? Did God make a way through the Red Sea? Before he parted the sea, was there a way? No. But the way showed up. And I'm telling you, church family, this morning in 2022, I want you to begin to think that live with this assurance where there seems to be no way in my life, God will make a way. Amen. And this is the title of the sermon, but how is he going to do details? You know, for the longest time when I was much younger, early in ministry, I worried a lot. I had a black belt in worry. You can ask Cindy now. I don't worry at all. I live a very, very, really, truly, not making this up, a very peaceful life. Do you ever hear me worry, Cindy? I don't worry. I just, you know, I've seen God do too many good things for me to take up worry in my life. Part of the problem that I struggled when I was much younger was, how is God going to do it? I'm sure nobody has ever had that problem, right? I want to know the details. I want to have it in writing on a contract. Well, you're a person of faith, aren't you? You know, isn't it called faith for a reason? Didn't Jesus say, blessed is he who believes without having to see? Right? You believe first, and if you believe first, you will see. Right, church family? But most of us are caught up with, how is God going to do this? I cannot conceive a way. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can dare to ask or even imagine? You know, the worrying part, the overthinking part, who's ever overthought? The overthinking part, that's beyond my pay grade, baby. That is above my pay grade. That is God's responsibility. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is found in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go there, please. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All your heart. Notice, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own what? Isn't that what we do when we worry? How's he going to do it? When's he going to do it? Lord, I've been praying for this a long time. I haven't seen hide or hair of this prayer concern being manifested in my life. Why do you take so long, God? When, God, when? How, God, how? Why, God, why? Yoo-hoo! And we get all worked up in a lather thinking that God has forgotten us. My friends, God is in the details of your life. Amen. He's got you all covered. Underneath your life are, in fact, the everlasting arms of mercy. God has got you. You know, it's amazing if we carry situations, deep situations, from 2021 to 2022, bless you, and they seem to only get worse, then all of a sudden worry kicks in. Well, is my health going to deteriorate even more in 2022? I can hardly manage now. How is it going to be for me in 2022? See, all these how questions, church family, is what get us stumped with the Lord. Can I get a witness, please? How? Joe, how is he going to do it? Listen, leave the how. Church family, we need to rediscover the joy of surrender. Let God worry about the how. My job is simply to trust with all my heart. Who's with me this morning? All we need to do is simply trust. Amen. I'm going to relax. I'm not going to worry. You know, I'm a type A person, and I love to do, man. I love to just get my hands dirty and jump in there and let's do what needs to be done. But and that used to work against me when I was younger because I thought that unless I was worrying, I wasn't doing anything. I'm sure I'm only speaking to the cream of the crop this morning, but you know, that's a lie from the pit of hell, my friends. To think that unless you're worrying, you're really doing something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, how many of you by worrying can add a single inch to your height? He went on to say, how many of you by worrying can add another day to your life? Medical science tells us that you take away days from your life, not add days to your life. Can I get a witness, please? Right? You know, I remember when I was 18 years old, I think I've told you this before, I was praying for $50. And that's where my faith was at that time. I had only been saved for a couple years, and I was praying for $50. I was going to receive it from the Lord. I was going to give it to the church. Who agrees with me this morning, church family, that the Lord will honor childlike faith? Isn't that what Jesus said? Unless you become like one of these least one among you, you cannot enter the kingdom. You must have childlike faith. What is a child? You tell something to a child, they're going to do what? They're going to believe it. But see, some of us have been through life and we've gotten jaded. We've gotten cynical. You know, I'm not against being skeptical. I think we need to be skeptical about some things, but not cynical. You know what cynicism is, church family? It's wounds that never healed, wounds that only festered and never healed, and you allowed yourself to become jaded because of life's difficulties or life's hurts. Well, it'll never happen for me. And I don't know who that person is down there at Locust Grove, you know, saying all these, blowing all this hot air, saying all these promises, blah, 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 blah. I don't believe that because I know better. Life has taught me better than that. Cynicism, cynicism, cynicism. Anyway, so I just, every day, just I prayed and I believed without, if you asked me back then, did I believe that God was going to give me $50? Yes, I believed it. Had you asked me how he's going to do it, I didn't care. Is that my responsibility, church family? And you know, I'm telling you, we had not had, there was a long lost uncle, true story, that had not stopped by our house in forever. He lived in Anaheim, California. He was driving through El Paso, Texas to get to Laredo, Texas so he could see some other relatives down there. And he notified us last minute. It was not something that he had planned to do. It was a last minute trip for him. So he called, he said, hey, I'd like to stop and say hi. Yeah, come on in. And so the day before he called, the next day he's there. I remember clear as day, I was watching a tennis match on television. And he came around, I was alone in the living room watching TV, and he came around the corner through from the kitchen door to the living room. And he said, hey, how's your university studies at El Paso, Texas, at UTEP? University of Texas at El Paso. I said, they're going great. And then he said, yeah, I hope you're doing well. I want you to encourage you, you know, keep on with your studies. And then he reached into his pocket and then he took something out and he shook my hand, bro. And he gave it to me and he said, I hope you do well. And so I said, wow, thanks. I didn't look at it. So I just put it back in my pocket. Later that evening, I took it out. Guess what it was? $50 bill. Did my faith require me knowing that God was going to send the long-lost uncle whom I had not seen in 10 years drive from Anaheim, make an emergency trip from Anaheim all the way to Laredo, Texas, and drive by El Paso and give me $50? Did he know it, that I had prayed? No, nobody knew that I had prayed. But see, church family, let's not complicate faith. Amen. Faith is very simple. Or what about the time, here's a good one, what about the time when we had moved from, you know, Kansas to Illinois, and my daughters required a physical from the state of Illinois. They didn't honor the physicals they had in Kansas. And so my oldest daughter, Sophia, they did a physical on her. They noticed a curvature on her spine, And they said it was severe, so we took her to the doctor, and they did x-rays, and she had her spine was like in the form of a letter S. That's how crooked it was. Very stark. And they said, we're going to have to do surgery. This is a severe curvature. And we just, you know, this was, who agrees with me? Sometimes life is too big. You can't even, at first you're in shock. You can't put your arms around the situation. You don't know where to start. You don't know. All of a sudden people started coming forward. Hey, I know a surgeon that does this. We can help you out. Well, we're just new to Illinois. This was 20 years ago. And they said, here, we're going to plug you in with this children's hospital in St. Louis. They're going to take care of you. And they did. Listen, they took care of all the expenses. My daughter underwent a 12-hour surgery to have rods put into her back. Now, listen to this. God took us from Northwest Kansas all the way to Central Illinois, where we were only 90 miles away. This is what the surgeon told my daughter. He's still around, Dr. Lenke. He said, hi, my name is so-and-so. And he said, I am the foremost authority spine surgeon. I'm the best spine surgeon in the world. Church family, is that coincidence? That God would relocate us hundreds of miles away from the world's best spine surgeon to where we were only 90 miles away, and that hospital covered all the gas money. We didn't need help. They said, here, we're just going to help you anyway. Here's food money. We're going to cover everything for you. Wow. Do you see now why I don't worry a lot? Because you know what I do as a habit, church family? I take that incident and I replay it over and over and over and over in my mind. I do what worry does in the negative, but I do it in the positive. Amen. God did this for me. And I impressed upon my daughter. I said, listen, God did this for you. Never forget that God loves you and will always take care of you. Amen? Amen? Let's look at Luke chapter 12, please. So far, so good, everybody? I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let's all say it together loudly. Do not be afraid. Thank you. I tell you, my friends, this is Jesus speaking. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, this is God, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Notice the next couple verses. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is what by God? So now Jesus brings perspective. He goes from the lesser to the greater. 5 sparrows. A sparrow in that time. Listen, why were sparrows sold? Because poor people could not afford regular meat. So they ate sparrow meat. One sparrow, or 2 sparrows rather, were sold for 1 penny. Can you imagine buying something for half a penny? Each sparrow sold for half a penny. But they would sell you 2. In this case, when you bought 4 sparrows, it was for 2 pennies, but they would give you the extra one because there was no value in sparrows. There was no value in sparrows. The poor people, that's all they ate. So they threw the 5th one in for good measure. Here, it's a free one. Buy 4, get 5 for 2 pennies. Can you imagine buying something that much for 2 pennies? It is of low value, and the Lord goes from the lesser to the greater. Not one of these sparrows, birds of the air, are forgotten by God. Next verse. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all what?
Numbered.
Remember that word. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Who believes that? That in the eyes of God, we are worth more than many sparrows.
Amen.
You're infinitely of greater value to the Lord. And yet, does he forget one single sparrow? No. No. Notice what it says there. Bless you. Notice what it says there. All your hairs are numbered. Do you realize what the Bible says as much from what it does not say as from what it does say? Notice what it does not say. All your hairs are counted. Is that what it says? What's the difference between counting and numbering? Well, you can look at the board. Those numbers, that's counting. If I was to number everybody here, I would start here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would say all the five stand up. That's numbering. Or if I gave you all a number, if I counted and gave you all a number, would I say? And I would say, would number 23 please stand up? If you have the paper 23, I'm the 23. That's numbering. So ladies, when you brush your hair in the morning and several fall out, the Lord's saying, oh, there goes number 19. There goes number 90,000. There goes number 632. He doesn't just say there go four hairs or five hairs, right? They're numbered. They're not counted. I'm going to close with this illustration. How many of y'all like this message? Listen, when we were getting ready for our girls to go to college, my ex-wife and I had had several conversations about that because we knew what our budget was. We knew that that this was going to be a big expense, and we just prayed. That's all we could do. Because we did not have the means. And it's not like these girls wanted to go to Illinois State University. Oh, no. They wanted to go to a private school out of state. Who agrees with me that those are infinitely much more expensive? And so we prayed with them, and we believe that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go to a Christian university. So all three of them went to Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, and we prayed about it, and I'll never forget the day. Listen carefully to them. We refused to worry about how this was going to happen and see if this is a God thing. I remember the day when one of my friends, he was appointed, Ron Green, Miss Sheila, his boss in Effingham had left. He was a Christian man, the boss and Ron. But had left millions of dollars for college scholarships for those who wanted to go into some sort of church ministry. Well, all three of my girls were going into church ministry. And I remember when this man came up to me and he says, Joe, this is the darndest thing. I have millions of dollars sitting for scholarship for students that are interested in going into some form of church ministry, but we have no students. And I'm like, I've got three. Who does that, church family? When's the last time somebody's come up and offered? And you know, every girl got benefited with $12,000 a piece for their studies. Does God have the details worked out, church family?
Amen.
Do we have to have the details worked out? Listen, there is joy in letting God creatively provide for you. Who agrees with me that that's what makes a powerful testimony?
Amen.
Just let him be God in your life. Last scripture, Mark chapter 4. I love this verse. Verse 26. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself, what are the next few words?
Does not know how.
Let's all say it. He himself does not know how. Does that keep the harvest from growing? No. Do we need to know how the harvest works for us to enjoy the harvest? No. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Church family, we don't need to know. Let God work out the details of our prayers. Can I have a collective amen in the house?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word, Lord. I just see this as a shot, Father, like a steroids of faith into the veins, spiritual veins of your people. Help us all, Lord, not to worry about what can happen, what may happen in 2020 that is adverse, that is not good, Lord. Father, help us to trust with all of our hearts to wait and see the salvation of our God. To your glory, Lord, in your name, amen.